This episode of Radio Labyrinth is produced by Mike Spittler, Sean Hall, Al McKeon, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Chad Shepard, Leslie Norman, John Sutherland, Garrett Kemble, Mike D, Eric Malmstrom, Matt Carter, and Beth Van Elswick.
Can you believe this ball game at Shea?
Oh, brother.
So the winning run is at second base with two out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
Hey, Buck, catch.
What?
What are you doing?
What the fuck?
Hey, sorry.
What happened?
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
It's in the middle of the street, Larry. What the hell were you doing?
Look, no.
Why'd you throw it to him?
I
thought you were a professional. You couldn't even catch.
It was a horseshit throw.
No, well, it was a horseshit catch also.
Hey, Buck. Hey, come on. That was a good throw. You bobbled
it. It was Mookie Wilson, Buckner.
Mookie Wilson?
What
did Mookie do? All he hit is a little shitty ground ball.
Get out, both of you. You ruined the gift. Get out!
Do you know what kept me standing through all those years in exile? Faith. Not in any gods. Not in myths and legends. In myself. In Daenerys Targaryen. The world hadn't seen a dragon in centuries until my children were born. The Dothraki hadn't crossed the sea. Any sea. They did for me. I was born to rule the Seven Kingdoms. And I will.
Let me give you some advice, bastard. Never forget what you are. Wear it like armor. It can never be used to hurt you.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Autumn Fisher, Jeff Leboff, and here's your host, Tim Andrews.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen.
Nice is back
with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me. Tightly. Flows like a harpoon. Daily. Nightly.
Will it ever stop
y'all? I don't know.
Turn out the lights and I'll run.
To the extreme. My rock a mic like a vendor. Light up a stage like a jump like a candle.
Dance.
Go.
Rush.
Speak of that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 22, season 4 of Radio Labyrinth. My name is Tim Andrews. There's Jeff Leboff.
Howdy.
Stephanie Swain. What the hell was that? Were you swallowing?
Well, it's the ice.
Oh, you went.
Whoa. I just said, suck.
Have you guys watched this video yet on YouTube?
I haven't watched the video, but I've heard the song.
Joe TV. He's a British YouTuber. He does all sorts of memes and videos and stuff. This is very well done.
Oh, man. The amount of time that it must have taken each one of these clips.
You got to find, first of all, you got to find all the words in the scripts and then edit all the video. So good job to Joe TV, British YouTuber. You can find him on YouTube. Just type in Joe and that should be the first thing that shows up. That video in particular is called A Song of Vanilla Ice and Fire.
And he just wears women's clothing. He's not a full transitioning.
What?
You said he was a TV.
He's a vestite?
Joe TV, it's television.
Oh.
Get your head out of the gutter. What's your problem? Been off too long. Haven't been here for a while. Hey, thanks to everybody for, let's thank our guests. Last week's show, while I was out of town, we had an interview with Nick DiPaolo. Did you guys listen to that? No. You don't listen to the show, do you?
I downloaded it.
You don't listen, though, do you?
I didn't last week.
I listen to the ones I'm not on.
Why don't you listen? You don't want to hear your voice?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I know.
You're good on the show. Everybody tells me you're good on
I'll
the show.
I'll listen to your interview with Nick DiPaolo.
I'll listen to it.
And then we had another interesting interview with, what's his name,
McBeardo McPadden.
McPadden, yeah. That was really a cool interview. We talked in about the 80s skin flicks.
Oh, okay.
And this guy is so intertwined in Hollywood. He knows Frank Santopadre, right, and Gilbert, and he does the social media, and he's involved with Mr. Skin.
Oh, okay.
Right up your alley.
Mike, that sounds like, and wasn't that the lead singer of Faith No More? No, I'm thinking,
you
that's
lost
Patton,
me.
Mike Patton.
Mike
Never
Patton.
Mind.
I only know two of their songs.
The two famous ones,
yes.
Epic and Falling to Pieces.
What's that one, We Care a Lot?
And We Care, okay. That's
all right, so three.
Two. Yeah, but I don't think Mike Patton didn't sing that song.
He
that
didn't?
Was before, that was the first guy.
Was he in Mr. Bungle at that time?
Mr. Bungle was afterwards, oh. I think.
God.
So he transitioned into the Bungle.
They transitioned into Mr. Bungle. So we didn't have an opportunity to talk about Game of Thrones finale because we were out of town last week.
You were out of town.
Well, I was out of town.
I was out of town, too.
I went out of town, too.
But if you want a complete recap of all 6 episodes of the most recent season, go to our feed and find Mike TV. It's a show hosted by Lisa Krause-Gardner and her co-host for this mini season of Mike TV is Autumn Fisher. So familiar voice there if you're not familiar with Lisa. Give it a shot. They were really in-depth and put a lot of time into it. So I would give it a listen. She's also going to be doing recaps of other TV shows under the aegis of Radio Labyrinth. I think she's talking about doing a couple, but I know for sure she's going to be doing, Mike TV will be doing Legion, and that will be with one of our radios, a Mr. Rockdale Tiger.
Rockdale Tiger.
And Dean Poole.
Dean, that's his real name, Dean mm-hmm. Poole. Hey, Dean. Boy, if you had the last name Poole up where we grow up.
Oh, what does that mean?
Inbred.
Oh.
I'm not calling Dean inbred. I'm just saying. Well, no, they're the.
Well, he does live in Loganville.
Well, okay.
Where's Loganville?
They were the Vanderpools, right? Up north, yeah. Vanderpools, and they you know, stay away from the Vanderpools. Why? They only have sex with they're like the Lannisters. They only have sex with each other, but they don't live at Castle Rock. So we didn't get a chance to talk about it, and I want to talk about it a little bit, and we're going to talk to
Why'd you watch it in a motel room? I thought you were at your aunt and uncle's.
I was at my aunt and uncle's, but...
But they didn't have HBO, so you were like, fuck this!
No. I just I ended up staying in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. Last week, I went up north to Pennsylvania and also New York State, and then I ended up in North Carolina, and then I came
home.
And
you didn't bring me one single stinking slice of Pudgy's pizza.
This guy wants me to drag fucking pizza in a cooler to get all shitty, you know?
He don't care. He'll eat it like that.
But Pudgy's is good if it's fresh or a day old, but pretty much after that, no way.
You don't want the flubby Pudgy.
I went into 3 different Pudgy's because they're all in convenience stores now looking for an auto locator magazine for my dad. He said, hey, get up there. Get me that... Oh, you know, the auto locator. You know, get the one regional, not the national one. I went to one New York State, PA. I went to at least 10 different stores, and finally I found one in Susquehanna, Pennsylvania, which is the town south of Binghamton, New York. So anyway, I get up there, and yeah, I spent the night in the Mansfield Quality Inn.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Mansfield's Quality.
Quality Inn.
Was it Where Quality?
Oh, yeah, Quality Inn right off of Route 15 in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. What's that? It used to be the Comfort Inn.
It's not the Comfort Inn anymore?
No, it's the Quality Inn.
Oh.
And there were a bunch of drunk Canadians in the lobby because there's a little mini bar there. There's a bar that you can go into. And just drunk Canadians watching the Raptors game screaming. I could hear them in my room.
I was there when Princess Diana died.
You were?
Yeah, I was watching a band play in that little bar there, and all the TVs are on the Princess Die.
That sounds more upscale than I stayed at the Landmark Hotel in Pikeville, Kentucky, surrounded by meth heads.
Nice.
Yeah.
I stayed at a meth hotel, 2 of them on the way back.
I stayed at the Travel Lodge in Ocean Springs, Mississippi.
I'm done. I've tried to find the smoking rooms. And
yeah, this one was a smoking room.
Only place up north.
Second floor, though. Fuckers.
Well, you can get that in Mississippi.
This one finds you $200 if you smoked in the room. And I was like, how dare you? People are cooking meth in the bathroom. You can't smoke in that. I mean, you know, I don't even smoke,
still. We don't like tobacco. We don't like tobacco. Well, yeah, so I got in the hotel room. The show had started, so I signed up I had to change my logins for HBO Go, and I just watched it on the computer.
Oh, well, you know, did you feel like you had experienced it the way it was meant to be experienced?
What, with my pants off in a hotel room? No. The whole trip for me was, I just immersed myself in Game of Thrones. I'm doing it the wrong way. Where everybody binged every old season before the new season. Now I'm watching the show and reading the books. Well, I'm doing the audiobooks because the guy who narrates him is pretty good. He's passed away, but I can't remember his name. But I started with the first book, and the first book in season 1 are amazingly similar, and they do a very good job of converting that to a TV show. Now, have you read the book stuff?
No. I have not. I can't read for very long. I only read magazines or the internet because I get very sleepy and I pass away.
Yeah, that's why I have to listen to audiobooks. You pass away? I die a little and then I come back.
I like audiobooks, but I just could never get into those.
Why couldn't you get into them?
Just
too much minutia?
Yeah, it's like didn't suck me in.
you know, it's a lot of dialogue, and he's talking about the crows and blah, 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 but it's really good. And
they do all the inflections. They have different people doing the voices.
No, it's
like
one
a
guy. No, one guy, and he does all of them.
Because I love all the scripted podcasts where you got different actors playing parts.
Well,
I
usually,
really get into
a
that.
Good, if it's a really good narrator, they'll do a different voice. Like, I listen to the Philip Pullman. You know, the next series that's coming on HBO is his Dark Materials.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to all those audiobooks.
Are they good?
Yeah, very good.
Who's the best? I'll get back to this with my
but
tale.
That guy that reads it, he's an English guy, and the people in the story have different accents. Some people
And he does them all,
yeah,
right?
And he does the different accents. So even though it's the same guy, when he does that character and does their accent, you know, you can tell it's a different character speaking.
Frank Muller is the best audio guy in history. He did a lot of Stephen King books. Most of the Dark Tower series, he did them. And then he died or whatever. And
motorcycle accident.
George Goodall came in and did the last three. But anyway, back to the Game of Thrones books. And I'm on the second one now. And so I'm on season two. And I just...
I'm on it.
What?
You're on the second one.
I'm on the second
one. No, I think it was the Saka when he said Saka.
I'm on the second one. And A Clash of Kings. I just enjoy it. I like all the minutia and the so-and-so had to marry this person and so-and-so had to marry this person. And I guess there's, two more books and then it's done? And then
he's got two more books he's got to read.
I know, but I'm saying that are currently published, what are there, four?
But as you're reading the books now, could you see why maybe this last season
was
to
weak?
To some, including myself.
Yes.
A lot of people feel like it went off the deep end when they ran out of material from the books.
Yeah, I think that's an argument that can be made.
If I'm being really, really honest, as much as I wanted to hang in there, it kind of, I know it's a fantasy show, I know people are riding dragons, I know all that, but when they were going to battle the Night King and they did that first run at them, you mm-hmm. know, with the Dothraki and Jorah and all that.
Right.
When Ghost was running alongside Jorah into the battle.
Yes. I know.
That, right then I said to myself, this is kind of like the tiger in Walking Dead, but I'll let it go. Let it go.
The dogs are more important in the books, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. And because they killed Sansa's in the first season, right?
Yes.
And it wasn't Sansa's dog or wolf lady that had attacked Joffrey.
Right.
That's the other. Oh, but the thing that watching the original seasons again and listening to the audio, there are characters I fucking hate. And there are characters that I love that I forgot about. And then there's characters I forgot about that don't matter to anything. Rickon?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit about Rickon? He's a toddler then.
Well, yeah.
Theon Greyjoy? What an asshole. I'm glad he got his cock chopped off.
Aw.
Well, you know, he went back and took Winterfell.
I mean, yeah, there was redemption for Theon.
Yeah.
I don't think
there was, but at first.
Paid the price like Theon did. My God.
I know. Jeez, poor fella. Who else did I? Rob Stark
lucky.
Is the dumbest motherfucker on earth.
He is dumb.
He's dumb.
Agreed.
Baratheon? Not Stannis. Stannis was stupid because he fell under Melisandre.
Robert, the big fat drunken oaf.
No, that's the king that died. He was dumb too.
Yeah.
They're all dumb.
Yeah.
The only decent people are Ned Stark, Jon Snow, and Tyrion.
I mean, Robert spent his entire life trying to kill every Targaryen.
Yeah.
Whether they were, just to kill out the bloodline.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
no kidding.
Genius.
And Robert wanted to, he sent the assassin to kill Dany and
his brother. And
everybody
brother.
Knows this. I don't know why. It's like I'm just getting into it and I want to talk about it. But
I want to talk about it now.
I want to talk about it now. But just the stupid decisions. I'm glad that all the Starks were murdered at the Red Wedding now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as sad.
Wait till the one comes back in the books, though.
What one?
The mom.
She comes back in the books?
Yep.
Lady Stoneheart.
Yep.
When?
In the books.
How come they didn't have that in the show?
That's one of the things they didn't do.
And we were all waiting for this Lady Stoneheart business. Yep. See, I never read any of the books. I just read all the nerd lore that told me what mm-hmm. I should care about. And that's what I went along
with. Oh, shit.
With.
The other day, I watched an hour and a half YouTube video describing all the cities and the continents of...
Did you watch the documentary?
No, I haven't recorded.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it for sure, though.
Yeah, so anyway... I guess this season it felt rushed. I didn't hate it, but it felt rushed. The last two episodes especially. I thought that was pointless, the war with the snowman was pointless.
I think, should have been the last episode.
Yes.
They should have just taken 2 years off like The Sopranos did and waited for fucking George R.R.R.R.R. Martin to put the fucking books out and then finish it.
Yep, I agree.
Did you see the people that said, oh.
But everybody's such a big star now, it'd be like Deadwood trying to round everybody up again.
Well, they said, all you people bitching about how Game of Thrones ended. You've never watched Dexter go off into the ocean in a freaking schooner.
Yeah. You want to bitch about a TV show? That is the worst in history. Fuck, that is the worst.
It is.
There's
very
been a lot
bad.
Of memes like that, like Firefly, like, oh, you didn't like your series finale. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, and the Lost people. Man. Oh, God. Those
Lost
poor
was
people.
Worse. Well, okay, let's real
I
quick.
Never watched Lost.
Worst season
finale was fucking
let's say
awful.
Worst season finales compared to Game of Thrones. Seinfeld.
Yeah, Seinfeld, it was okay.
Still had a couple of chuckles in it, but Parks and Recreation was really bad.
I didn't see that. Barney Miller was good. They shut the lights off and that was it. MASH, that was pretty.
That was brutal. Epic. Ball my eyes out.
Yeah.
That's like the best finale of all time.
I like the
most highly rated.
Yeah.
I love the Newhart ending. The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah, the Newhart ending was genius.
I like the Sopranos ending. A lot of people didn't like that.
That was
the
only way to
end
Sopranos, man.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't like it at all, the show?
No, I loved the show. I didn't hate the ending. I was in the camp of, okay.
Well, it's how the show started, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of liked the idea of, you know, all these people were like, no, he was definitely dead.
They leave it up to you. It's like a Stephen King ending. You decide for yourself.
Yep. Yeah, choose your ending.
Except for the worst Stephen King ending of all time is the end of the Dark Tower series.
Yep.
That book. I wanted to strangle him at the end. I invested so much time in that, you fucking asshole.
When I was at the movies this past weekend, they showed an extended preview for the sequel to It.
Mm-hmm.
I just about shat myself in the theater. It scared the crap out of me.
Bill Hader's going to be in it.
Scary. Spoiled. And it looks very scary.
Who's he playing?
I don't know.
Yeah. Plays Bill.
Who does?
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader plays Bill.
Right.
Shouldn't he be Richie? Because he does voices?
Yeah, I don't know.
But he looks like Bill grown up, don't you think?
He thrusts his fist against the post and still insists he sees the ghost. You know what that is, right?
No.
That's the poem that Bill has to say to himself when he's stuttering.
Stuttering. And then he starts stuttering again as he's an adult. What's her face? She looks perfect as Bevy all grown up. Mm-hmm. The Chastain chick. She's perfect for that. If they would have got Bryce Dallas Howard, I would have burned the earth to the... Oh.
So are there going to be three or just two?
I don't know. Two.
Spoiler alert, if you have never read the book It or seen the original miniseries, this is a spoiler alert, okay? Fair warning. I went on Twitter and I wrote, they kill Pennywise. And a bunch of people got mad at me. And I said, the book is 30 fucking years old. 33 years old. It came out.
You didn't say spoiler alert first?
No, come on. Hey, asshole, I didn't read the book. Oh, that's your fault.
Maron was talking about how he wrote on Twitter about Game of Thrones because he watched the last episode. He never watched any of it.
That's it?
And he just typed on Twitter. He was like, I'm kind of lost. and people went ape shit on him. So crazy. Oh. And he called it the unfuckable nerd army. They came after him with such a vengeance.
He's right, though. It's just a TV. At the end of the day, a TV show. Other bad endings. Cheers, I didn't like. I didn't like the ending.
That show had really run its course.
Yes,
at that
it had.
Point.
It could
Big
have
time.
Ended a couple years before that.
What about Frasier?
It was all right.
I never saw the last Frasier.
Last Happy Days.
Last Happy Days wasn't very good.
No, it had jumped the shark.
Literally,
for real, jumped the shark. What about Laverne and Shirley?
Laverne
went out bad too.
Shirley was gone.
Shirley left. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sucked.
A lot of shows.
Perfect Strangers.
Didn't see that. I didn't watch that. So. Wonder Years.
Wonder Years, that had a good ending.
Those shows fell into
when I didn't
watch TV.
That was
sad.
I cried because you found out the dad died in that last...
Spoiler alert.
Well, I'm sorry, guys. Sorry to spoil a 30-year-old show for you, but the dad dies.
I liked Olivia Diabo.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I wonder what she looks like now.
Old, probably. We all look old now. I'm old.
Speak for us.
You don't look old. Jeff doesn't look old. I look old.
No, I look old.
Well, whatever.
I don't feel old.
I felt old after I went drinking. I'll tell you about that later. All right, so my thoughts are simply this. I like that Bran became the king.
Nah, Sansa.
No.
Sansa is queen. She's queen of the North.
She's queen of the North, but she should have got the Iron Throne herself.
The point of it was to just have, all seven lords of all the seven...
That was pretty funny when
Sam. Sam, she's trying to do democracy, like, and they all laughed at him.
Right.
Oh, maybe I'll let my horse vote.
Yeah, I'll let the people vote. And then I started thinking, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Just let the mayor or the governors of every state
that's
vote
what
the president.
Electoral college is.
I know.
Abortion everywhere.
Yes, that's right. Hey, no abortion talk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did tweet today that we can reach a compromise with Netflix. They don't have to pull out of Georgia. It will.
No, if they allow people to pull out.
No. If they allow
the Demogorgon.
Yeah, I said you can have an abortion in Georgia, but the Demogorgon has to do it. Get a little one. It won't hurt as much.
I just feel like it's population control. We're going to have so many people that should have been flushed down a toilet.
They don't flush them. If you live in Iowa, you got to bury them now.
Oh, wow.
Or no, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
That was this. Anyway, I don't want to talk about
it.
Sorry. Sick of that. Sick of it. Keep it to yourself, Busy Phillips, and anybody who didn't have one. I don't want to hear it.
She's a busybody, Phillips.
I don't care if you had one or didn't have one. I don't care if you think it should be legal or shouldn't be legal. Shut the fuck up.
No, I just want my shows, and I don't want any production to stop.
Exactly.
And that's really my main concern.
Yes. So if you are that uptight about it, I don't know, go do it in New York and pay the taxes.
Oh, they'll arrest you.
Who?
That's part of the law.
Nah. The Supreme Court will take care of that. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers wasn't happy about abortion.
Were you satisfied with the ending of Game of Thrones?
No. I love the show, and it was a great 10 years, but no. I mean, you come down to the end, and Tyrion says the person with the best story is Bran.
Now listen, this guy is a complete fucking nerd. He's a great quarterback on a great team.
Who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore.
Good point.
No, Jon had a better story. Dany had a better story.
Totally.
Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Bronn, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story.
All right, Renly Baratheon did not have a better story.
Well, I mean, he would have been the first gay king.
That's true.
But
he's Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg.
But I agree. And I was wondering, whenever somebody does think about rising up against the kingdom, Bran the Broken is going to intimidate them. Like, oh, we can't go up against Bran the Broken.
Yeah.
God knows. He'll crush us like a bug. Roll over us in that wheelchair.
He's no Bran the Builder who built the wall.
Bran the Builder.
That was his name, who built the fucking stupid wall. Yeah, Jeff?
Nothing.
So who should have been on the throne?
I mean, I think Dany should have been on the throne.
Wrong.
Great.
Here's the thing, though. Here's my last theory about it. If Bran, the three-eyed raven, who...
Oh, by the way, you should see him when he's talking. When he said that, he rolls his eyes. The three-eyed raven.
Who's, you know, all about the health of the realm. Let's think about what he did. He basically wanted the throne the whole time because he's the one that told the Starks, knowing that Sansa would tell Tyrion, knowing that Tyrion would talk to Varys, knowing they'd scheme for Dany's death, knowing that would piss her off, which led her to be the Mad Queen. So he, the entire time, kind of set this whole thing up, and at the end he goes, oh yeah, I don't want to be king. Oh, but why did I travel all this way to be here? No. Look.
And he makes a valid point here.
Oh, for sure.
I love the opportunity to be in the show, which most people probably don't think I was, but I was there. I love the show, but you know, the writers are also doing Star Wars, so I think they might have been a little busy this last season.
Now, have they started writing the Star Wars yet, the trilogy?
I don't know.
And no one even knows what it's going to be about, right?
Nope.
Now, I offer them some advice with this Star Wars thing that they're going to make. Keep Kathleen Kennedy away from it.
Do you expect an invite back on one of these spinoffs?
I hope so. I want a bigger part, though, John. You could have been a wildling, though.
He's talking to a reporter. You could have been a wildling.
That's my brother. He looks just like Tormund.
Isn't Tormund?
He looks just like
I
him.
I love Tormund. Now, you see Tormund any hotel you stay to that's owned by Wyndham.
There's a big picture of him at the Travel Lodge in Oceansbridge.
Well, there's a big picture in the shitty hotel I stayed at.
You seen the pictures of when he was a male model?
No.
Oh.
Ooh, I'm going to look those up later.
He was quite a handsome little Swedish model.
He's Swedish?
He's like a Torgon Flergon.
I thought he was Scottish.
Or whatever the hell. I thought he was some sort of Nordic shit.
He's one of those guys with very few vowels.
He's a Norseman.
No vowels in that guy's name. So yeah, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's on the side of people who don't like the ending. So you didn't really say why you didn't like it.
He just laid out pretty much every reason why I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that it was rushed, and I didn't care for the whole... the other thing, too, is, okay, so John, who has a legitimate claim, it's his throne. He kills the tyrant, who is Danny, like mm-hmm. any other person has ever done, but then he has to be ostracized.
Right.
Because of the Unsullied?
Yeah, because...
who can't even...
Dickless Wonder is upset.
Right. And then, like, they have... Because they're going to go off and start their house with no dicks.
Yeah.
That is going to end when they die. And are they ever going to come back and check to see if they even ostracize them? And if they did ostracize them, why wouldn't he go to Sansa's free and independent north? Why the frig did he have to go to the tower, the wall? Who are they watching for?
Nobody now.
They're not fucking watching anybody.
He went to be king of the wildlings. That's what he's going to be.
I mean,
king of the wildlings. King beyond the wall.
They banished him to the Night's Watch. What the?
Yeah.
It's just.
They don't even need that anymore.
It's preposterous. I mean, the whole thing was preposterous.
Yeah.
So, but that's why I hated it. It infuriated me to spend that many years.
Yes.
On plot and character development and all these things. Because you can go back. We watched every single episode, and it was even better the second time watching it.
Uh-huh.
And then this last part, it was just like they were like,
yeah,
and just crapped all in our face. That's exactly what
right.
it felt like.
You're right. I mean, it wasn't terrible. There were good moments. There were some good moments, but it was so dumb.
How Varys, the most cunning, diabolical character in the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to tell John and just to make sure that he gets killed. I mean, the whole thing was just, come on, really?
Well, didn't Tyrion rat him out?
Tyrion ratted him out, but John could have ratted him out as well.
Yes.
I mean, he was just like, it just did not make any sense to me at all.
I wanted two people to be, I knew it was going to be Bran, but I wanted two people, two of my choices for king were either John or Tyrion. I think Tyrion would have been a good king. He saved fucking King's Landing more than once.
Yeah.
If you read the second book, when he's Hand of the King to Joffrey, he does so much work to prepare for Stannis's navy and troops that it saved the city.
I'd rather have seen Brienne be queen or king or whatever over Bran,
mm-hmm.
honestly.
Or Bronn, you mean?
Bran. Oh, Bran yeah. the Broken.
Yeah, yeah. I love Bronn, though, by the way.
They broke that wheel.
Yeah.
Broke the wheel. So dumb.
Well, let's see what some of our fans think. We're going to talk to a couple of people and see what they have to say.
Yes, we'll return to Radio Labyrinth in just a moment, but I want to thank everybody for being supporters of Radio Labyrinth here at the RLPC Network. You know, we can't put on these shows without your help, and we have a number of amazing producers out there who just donate to their heart's content every single month. And, you know, we have several different layers and tiers that you can sign up for here at Radio Labyrinth. So let's start off. We have a $1 tier, and the $1 tier gets you a shout-out on each and every episode of Radio Labyrinth. It's kind of a digital thank you for being a supporter. And then we move up to the $5 level where... you get to ask us anything. Now that's $5 a month, and again, you get the shout out, and you also get to ask us any questions. Now, Autumn will post those on the Patreon every week before the show on our Patreon page. And again, that URL to find us is patreon.com/ Tim Andrews. Now, if you come in at the $10 level, you will get to do a staff pick. Now, we throw that out there every week, and we sure would like it if you'd start contributing. We'll read them. You can post them anywhere. And then you also get our movie club, which we do once a month. Autumn and Tim talk about one of their favorite movies from the past, and, well, gosh, you get it right there in Patreon. It's amazing, and you get to listen to the whole thing. Okay, so now we move on up to the $25 a month level, and there you get... not a handbag, not a hat you're never going to wear anywhere, or a coffee mug. You're going to get a producer credit and custom illustration. So Tim will do a custom hand drawing for you, more like a doodle or a sketch. But you can do whatever you like with it, okay? So just go ahead and check that out. And then we have the $50 level. If you're in at the $50 level, you get to be a guest of the show. And plus, you get everything prior. And then last but not least, we have Ad Space. Ad Space is $75 or more per month. We have a couple left. You get everything we offer. Plus, we'll give your company a promotional shout-out. And what that entails is Tim will actually produce a 30 to 60 second commercial that will play right here in the middle of Radio Labyrinth, and we're going to play one of those right now. So why don't we go ahead and get back to our programming after this commercial and go ahead and appreciate it again. So again, we can't bring you these we don't have any handbags, sorry.
Hey guys, here's another one of Radio Labyrinth's awesome sponsors, Bailey Tree Care LLC in Gainesville, Georgia. You can contact Nick Bailey at 770-530-9421 or Jason Chapel at 404-234-2599. Bailey Tree Care. They are Northeast Georgia's premier choice for high-quality tree care services at affordable prices. Their tree care experts bring an excellent safety record and over 10 years of experience in the industry. Bailey Tree Care specializes in residential products and offers free estimates for all your tree service needs. Residential tree care, certified arborists and tree climber, tree trimming and pruning, tree removal, stump grinding and removal, shrub trimming, pruning, underbrush clearing, and mulch and firewood sale. Safety, professionalism, and affordability. Call them today to discuss your tree care need. That's Bailey Tree Care LLC.
Hey, we got Mike Hall on the phone. He was on the show a couple weeks ago. Mike is the owner of Atlanta Pizza in Euro. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. It's me, Jeff, and we have Steph in with us tonight.
Hey.
Hey. Hey,
Steph.
Hey, man. Wish we had some pizza.
Yeah, I'm out.
Oh, man.
Can you fax it to us or email me some pizza?
I'm emailing you a picture of one.
Okay. That'll sate me. So did you watch Game of Thrones? I forget.
Of course I did.
What did you think of the ending?
It wrapped everything up. It was a little, I think I'll agree with the Mike TV reference, if anybody's heard that. They thought it was a bit rushed, but it was satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
All the loose ends were tied up, so I was pretty happy with it overall. I mean, I a couple of things, you know, just, you know, you hate to see that John ended up at the wall and all that, but it was a great, gosh, I mean, such a great show, you know.
Yeah.
So I can't be too upset about it. You know, they ended it. It was funny. Parts were funny. Parts were sad. You know. Yeah. I think they did a great job.
Favorite overall character?
Tyrion by a mile.
Tyrion by a mile. Who had the best redemption?
Oh, Theon, without a doubt.
All right. We were just talking about
Theon
it.
Theon was fantastic. I mean, that I cried when Sansa. And he locked eyes that first time, and he came in. I'm like, he was redeemed. It was awesome.
And
it was really good because you get such an investment in these characters that, you know,
it's you just, do.
You really feel for him. It's crazy, but I know it's a TV show, but still, that's great TV.
Who? Which character had the worst finale? Which character became the worst? Like, which had the least redemptive character?
Oh gosh, I should have thought about that. Just off the top of my head, I would say probably Euron, but I mean, he was such a dick anyway. Cersei was kind of there's no redemption, and her death was not as satisfying.
Right.
I would have liked to see her die a little more. You know, like, I would have loved to see the dragon swoop down and eat her ass or something like that.
I would eat her ass too, but not like the dragon did. Wait, what? I didn't say this. Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to be crude. You still there?
Mike is optometrist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime you want, Sam.
I didn't like Cersei and Jaime dying. First of all, I didn't like Jaime dying.
No.
Yeah, of course.
And I got a little misty when Tyrion started crying.
I didn't like
it. Oh, my God. Yeah, he's such a great actor. He did it so well. And that would just, that seemed so heartfelt.
Yeah. Because
he awesome. Was thinking to himself, had they stepped 2 feet to the left, they would have been fine.
Yes. They would have been alive.
You fools. Yeah, exactly. So.
Did you?
He was a fool for going back, but it was, you know, it's the arc. You know, you got to be true to the arc of the story, right?
Right.
And that, you know, so even the people that complain about it, they can't argue with that.
Did you watch the documentary, the 2-hour documentary?
No. Is it good?
Yeah, it's worth watching. They show some really, like one of the really poignant parts in it is when the cast finds out what's going to happen in the finale. And they're doing like a table read. And they find out Danny gets killed, and it's like their first reaction to it and stuff. It's really worth watching the documentary just for that stuff.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. I got withdrawal, so I'll definitely check that
out. So does Kit Harington. That's why he's in rehab.
Yeah. He's in rehab?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Went into rehab.
No.
Yeah, substance abuse, yeah.
What?
Damn.
Well, I imagine it's stressful. It's stressful to do all that.
What substance is he abusing?
Well, they said it was booze.
Booze, yeah.
Oh,
okay, well.
Wine.
He is Scottish, right?
I don't know what he is. He's handsome as hell.
Yeah, he is very handsome.
Well, Mike, you got any other?
Thank you, guys.
You got any other questions? I think you know everything about us.
Did you listen to the Southside Steve and Larry Wax reunion?
I sure did.
Okay. We were going to talk about that tonight a little.
But you can ask us about it.
I just, I'm sorry. I was literally just listening to the end of it.
Don't apologize. And, what's your question?
Are you and Steve going to patch things up?
I was talking about brokering a thing where we get Southside Steve in here, and I listened to the podcast, and I thought, hey, this is pretty good, and Larry was good, and Steve was good,
and
everything. But then our friend Sean told me to watch it on YouTube, so I watched the whole thing on YouTube, and it like gave me a totally different opinion about it, and Steve... like gets drunker and drunker and drunker as the show goes on, and he's like fucking turned into Gary Busey by the end.
Gets a little wasted. I guess,
but like when I listened to it, I didn't pick that up. But when you're watching it, oh my god, I was like, Jesus
false
Christ.
Evidence appearing real by the end of it.
So
I mean, he's sloppy by the end, but I don't know.
I don't know.
You know a lot better than we do.
He said something about how I tried to sabotage Bailey and Southside, which isn't.
He said you left weird or something.
Well, I did leave weird. I got myself fired, so I wouldn't have to fucking work on that horrible show.
He would have never have got to come back if it wasn't for you.
Who?
Right,
Steve.
He doesn't give you that
you
credit.
You fucking
but
made him a path to come back to the shit.
Not for the last time.
No, but last the other time. The 2006 era.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
got
yeah.
his ass back on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we worked really hard to get him on the show.
I know you did. You championed
him. There
was
one little thing, if I can say. I remember some of my favorite moments on The Regular Guys were you, Tim, making Southside Steve literally piss his pants laughing, and then you would destroy him, and then you'd keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, and he would be and just completely destroyed, and you'd keep going. And it was like that kind of thing. I almost wrecked probably three or four times. Because it would just, I'm very on the same wavelength as your humor. You know, we're the same age.
Yeah.
And the stuff you think is funny, I think is funny. And when you would get stuff, I'd keep growing. It would crack me up so much.
He really liked to make the regular guys laugh when I would throw out those really...
Oh, when you were doing Red,
Reds and his awful racist jokes.
I'd still like to get Southside Steve on this podcast, but there would have to be no booze involved.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But,
just beer.
Beer.
Can you just have beer?
No, no, he didn't drink.
And we're not even allowed to have beer anymore.
Oh, you mean?
Man.
Oh.
What do you mean?
Monday night.
Bummer.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't have any beer.
Well, maybe meet him at a different location or something. Maybe the neutral location or something. But hey, I hope it happens. But we love you guys. So
well, if it happens, I would love eventually someday to have the four of us sit down and talk in a podcast. The likelihood of that
get that regular guys podcast going like Larry wanted to.
He already started it.
Did he?
Yeah. You just go check his Twitter feed. Anyway,
Eric, I think. Anyway, guys, thank you again.
Hey, Mike, real quick, I landed in a good spot.
You did.
Yeah,
I'm really proud.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Keep up the good work.
Bye, Mike.
Right, have a great night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Keep it canon.
Hey, Brandon. This is Tim. How are you?
Doing good. Good to talk to you, brother.
You too, man. I'm with Jeff Leboff and Steph Swain. Hey. You just started listening to the show, right?
Yeah. When you tweeted out the other day about. With Larry Wax, and I asked, was he going to be on your podcast? I didn't know you had one until Larry had said something, and then you apprised me that he was on in January, and that was radio gold. I loved it.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. We had a lot of fun talking to Larry. It was the first time I had really sat down with him in a real long time, and it was fun. We did some of our old bits. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, it's back in January. I can't off the top of my head think of the show number.
I can look it up. But
Jeff will look it up. So, Brandon, were you a game of... of Thrones fan? Did you watch it?
No, but all my coworkers did, and I kind of feel like I watched it in a way.
Yeah.
And they are extremely upset. One guy that I work with named Taylor just wanted to take a baseball bat to the computer at work. And he said they'd never seen anything that was so good turn to piss so fast.
That's a great review.
And he just decided self-anger.
I think that's going to be the name of the show, Game of Thrones, Turn to Piss. A game of piss and fire.
It's season 4, episode 5.
Season Larry 4, Mason. Episode 5, yeah.
I mean, he really was so mad. He sounded like when you, I think it was you, used to do the Chaz Bono voice.
Oh, Larry did that.
Larry did that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's how mad he sounded. It was hilarious. I've just never seen a grown man more disturbed about a TV show. I mean, I think he was more mad about that than I was Alabama getting their butt kicked by Clemson. Like $500 doing that.
So what kind of shows do you watch?
Watch a lot of reality shows. I mean, I watch like Bering Sea Gold and watch Deadliest Catch. And let's see, I watch Street Outlaws. You know, a lot more probably redneck-based stuff than a lot of the...
You don't watch Bravo exclusively?
I do not. My wife sits around and watches the Hallmark Channel all the time, so I put a 70-inch in the bedroom so
smart.
I can stay back there. And
you like the Jeremy Wade Dark Waters fishing show?
I have not seen
it. You should check it out. It's pretty good.
I might give that a look. And I watched some of the Netflix stuff. Trying to think. I tried the, what was that show? The show with the kids on the WB, Redheaded Kid. Can't remember what the name of it was.
The superhero show?
No, the one that had Luke Perry in it that he died.
Riverdale.
Oh, yeah.
I tried a little bit of... I thought it was pretty good in the first season. Then they put that redheaded kid in jail, and he was like in a fight club and stuff. And I was like, wow, these people that are writing this show really need to lay off the coke bad.
That ain't fucking Archie as far as I'm concerned.
No, a lot of people said it really went off the rails.
I don't remember Archie having magic powers, but that's just me. So you had said earlier in the day that you had a movie you wanted to recommend. Can you tell us about it?
Oh, absolutely. I had to take a sociology class for my master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And our teacher had us watch a movie called The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. And it is a documentary that Johnny Knoxville had a hand in. And after I watched that movie, I felt so good about myself as a person. That movie just instills into you how shot out and crazy some people that live outside normal society are. And it is a continuous train wreck that you have a hard time taking your eyes off of, because just when you think it's at a point where it's bottomed out, it goes even lower.
I gotta go get my baby.
Well, let me tell you, I'm from there, and I just came from there, and my brother just saw Mamie not even 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they go to the same clinic. So he'll see
same
Mamie.
Same methadone clinic?
He'll see Mamie in there from time to time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, so in the whole town that I'm from, Harts Creek, it's completely ravaged by drugs, by opioids.
The Harts Creek Sheehawks.
They call them the backpackers. They just backpack up and down the Route 10, uh-huh, robbing people. My cousin Becky, all her teeth are gone. She burned down the family dollar. She was living upstairs, and she was just anything with candles, and she almost burned the whole place down.
Holy shit.
It's terrible. But when you hear my aunt and uncle and they're talking about the stories, I'm like, is this... It sounds like they're talking about New York City, but no, it's this little tiny town in the middle of West Virginia. I mean, just completely drug-ridden.
Oh, my God.
Well, the part that got me was the one cousin stole the other cousin's husband and then married him like Walgreens or something. And when I watched it, I thought to myself, Tim Andrews wrote this movie. That was really a thought I had.
I liked the guy that danced that kind of got a little
Jesco.
Bit of... Jesco got some fame out of that.
Yeah.
But other than that, the who else was involved in producing it? It was Hank Williams III, right?
I believe
or
it
he's
was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he was in there, and then I think he narrated in the movie, too.
But Jesco's moved on. My brother said they don't see him around there anymore.
Oh, he's not dead?
No, he's down in Florida, because my brother, he works for CSX, and he works on the track, and down in Danville is where the train station is, and Jesco's little shack was right up around there. So my brother, they would see him, he'd be down on the tracks He danced on the track.
Oh, my God.
And so, but he's been gone. I think he got a little money.
Yeah.
You know, he's gotten some fame from this. He travels around, so he...
Put down the pipe, yeah, head to Florida.
He got out of heart. Well, I think he went to the pill capital of the world, which is Florida.
Well, pills over pipes, right? Right, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't pull a Rick James when he got paid and just OD'd.
Well, dude, thank you for the call in, and thank you for starting to listen to the show, man. We appreciate it, and you know, we'll talk to you again next time we do the phone calls.
Yeah, keep on the keep listening to the podcast. We're talking about trying to get Southside Steve in here.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. I got a lot of catching up to do on your podcast. I'm going to retrace back to number one because I didn't know it was there. I've not been on Twitter and been big into Twitter for a long time. But anything Tim does is funny, and it's always creative.
Well, thank you, man.
I'll definitely be sharing it because everybody at work today was wanting to know, what in the hell are you laughing at? And I'm laughing at 15 years of radio gold.
That with everybody, and I still have the painting, so I want to thank you again for that. I have a painting of the regular guys on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, nice.
Hey, the Cougar Escape that you wrote and sang is more than payment enough for that, because that's a buddy of mine's ringtone.
Okay.
Every time he calls me, his wife wants to kill me.
Wait, what was that?
The Cougar Escape song that you did about Axe body spray and going to Waffle House, the one that I sent you that time.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's a buddy of mine's ringtone on my phone. His wife wants to fight me every time the phone rings and he calls.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but I'm glad that you got enjoyment out of it, and so does he.
That might be your finest work, bro. Well, I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Send that to me. I haven't heard it in a while. Thanks, Brandon.
Maxwell House Max.
Hello, it's Rob.
Hey, Rob. Tim.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Good. I'm here with Jeff and Steph.
Hey.
Great.
Howdy.
Hey.
Hey, Robert. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hold on one second. The wife needs to ask me a question.
Sure. The wife is asking him a question.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Did you answer the question? Or did you say, hey, I'm on the phone?
Seven.
No.
Okay. So were you a big Game of Thrones fan?
I was a big Game of Thrones fan. I listened to all the books and I watched the series.
Oh, I just started listening to the books. I'm almost done with the Clash of Kings.
Yeah, and you know, I was very happily surprised. Not nearly as much like, you know, brother and sister fooling around stuff as there was in the books.
Yeah,
as it was on the show.
He's very creepy at writing love scenes too, which freaks me out. He's like, and then she took his seed. Okay, I got it.
I thought the South Park interpretation of that was amazing.
No, yes, it was. I understand it much more now that I've read or listened to the audiobooks. It's wieners and what is it? Something of wieners.
Yeah,
anyway,
so many wieners.
What did you think of the finale, the last season, and of course the finale? Did it end the way you wanted it to?
Well, I don't think anything ever ends the way we want it to. That's why I'm like, all these people are bitching and moaning online. I'm like, well, how would you have done it?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it had to end. I think it wrapped everything up. I would like to have seen a little bit more action, I think, from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it wasn't as much, you know, what we were just saying, as much wieners and stuff. Yeah. It was more just, you know, let's have some good action here and let's wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad it did wrap up with Peter Dinklage still alive. Tyrion was alive.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, I was surprised that Bran ended up on the throne, but all those people online, I guess they were right. They knew something we didn't.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of, or what do you think George R. R. Martin will do in the books? Do you think there'll be a different ending?
Spoiler alert here, Tim, and I don't mean, if you want me not to talk about the books, I won't.
Go ahead.
Well, in the where the books end, Tyrion is like a circus performer with another female midget, and, you know, they're joining up with the Golden Company. You know, and on the other side of the world, you've had, they just now got to, you know, start getting stabbed at the wall. So it's going to end much different.
Okay.
Just in the place of Tyrion, because he was in the pit, when Daenerys was out there. And Daenerys, she's married to a guy.
In the book?
And she has not done shit with the dragons yet.
Oh.
She's like, no, I cannot release my dragons. Are you crazy? They're my dragons. No. I don't know what they'll do.
What city is she in the books when the books end?
She's still back in Slaver's Bay.
Really?
And we're five books in.
Okay.
So, I mean, and there's only two more books to go. So unless these things are like gigantic tomes.
Yeah.
it's going to end in such a different place. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to the books coming out, which,
if diabetes doesn't
get to R.R. Martin first.
Yeah. If what doesn't get to him?
Diabetes.
Oh, does he have that?
How could he not? Have you seen the man? Suspenders are not a fashion choice for him. The man's 2 pounds away from wearing a fucking muumuu.
Yeah, oh God.
And he wears a dumb navy, or the seafarer's cap.
It suits him.
I know. But you gotta, you know, the guy gets famous in his 40s. And, you know, you're going to get all that nerd tail. You might as well live it up for a while.
Huey Lewis got famous in his 40s. He didn't end up looking like that.
Who did?
Huey Lewis.
But he had a huge hog. So.
Yeah, he did.
Well,
we don't know.
That's what he was, yeah, well, that's not what he was playing on stage.
The power of love.
It's hip to be square.
Yeah, it's hip to be thick.
Give him a lot of confidence is what I'm thinking.
Hey, Rob, thanks for calling us tonight, man. We appreciate it. We're going to do more of these shows, so, you know. If it ends up just being you every week, we'll be happy with that.
Yeah, and hey, Steph, you know, maybe we can talk about some of that Handmaid's Tale along the way.
Oh, that would be so cool. Oh,
are you into that show? My wife is excited for it to come back.
Oh, yeah. Me and Steph's actually mentioned me and her bantering about it.
I'm so jacked about it. Yeah, that would be so cool, man.
We're just going to start living the Handmaid's Tale, so yeah. I don't even have to watch it.
We're living it.
Yeah.
So.
Steph will be of Radio Labyrinth.
Yeah, of Labyrinth.
All I know is I want to be in a kitchen somewhere. Just put me in a kitchen.
You want to be the ladies that do all the work?
Right. Well, you know, I can't birth anything. Like, even if I was of age,
Can you make a nice strawberry shortcake?
That's too good. I don't think you're allowed to have anything that delicious. No,
I'd want to work in the brothel.
It's too titillating.
The old-fashioned one where there was like a biscuit.
Yeah, what would they do with guys like me, middle-aged men that have had vasectomies and just kind of pass that prime? Do we just lie and, yeah, I'll take a handmade and keep it moving? Or?
Yeah, you're a white male, man, in the land of whatever that's called. You're top dog.
Could I be a hand job maid? I
mean, yeah. Well, you'd have to work at the hooker shack or whatever they call it. All right, Rob, have a great night, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
You bye, too. Guys. Bye-bye.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Ural, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza in Ural is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, gyros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting. Since 1983. Check them out on Twitter at ATL Pizza Gyro. That's ATL Pizza GYRO. So we had some calls tonight from radio.
Yeah,
we're going to do that more because
delightful.
I like talking to people, yeah, and we have some really good listeners.
Junior Mint.
So yeah. Oh, I saw a Junior Mint display at a Sheetz in Pennsylvania. Sheetz convenience.
Did you go to the farmer in the Sheetz?
Yes, I did go to the farmer in the sheet.
Yeah.
Okay, I was looking all over the place for my dad's auto locator. I didn't locate it there. But they have a limited edition packaging with Seinfeld, the 30th anniversary of that episode.
So, well, my niece, you know, she never really watched Seinfeld. She's 18, and I was regaling her with some of my favorite episodes, and one of which is when Kramer is test driving the car and mm-hmm. he takes it into the slash, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on my way home from West Virginia, it's a 7-hour drive. I locked in, like I just fucking locked in. And I was like, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go the whole way on this entire tank of gas. I'm not going to use the bathroom, nothing. I made it all the way. I was like 40 minutes from home. I was so deep in the slash, so deep. And I'm like, God damn it. If I was afraid that I'd hit traffic and then I'd lose it. And so I pussed out and pulled off and got gas. I was so mad at myself. I was so close, dude. I'm telling you, that last 100 miles on 85, I was freaking rocking. I
85, where does that go?
Well, there's like 115 mile jaunt on 85 on the way at the end before I get to my house.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're coming back. So
you're like Charlotte in here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like after Asheville. I mean, it's a beautiful drive up until you get to the 85.
Right.
Same thing. It's boring.
South Carolina. Did you run into construction? Because it was a shithole. They dumped me off onto 85 business through Spartanburg.
Well, you know, when you go through Greenville, that's always a clusterfuck.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always bad. But no, I only hit traffic on the way there. I hit Asheville. Mm-hmm. I got burned in Asheville. But on the way home, dude, I was doing like 85 the whole way home. I mean, and I was seeing those cops making money all over the place. They had people pulled over everywhere, but
I was stuck in traffic that wasn't moving, and I had to pee. and I had a big mug in the cup, and I don't like doing that. Didn't. I don't like doing it.
Just pull over and piss on the side of the road.
No. I held it.
I was in the middle lane.
Eyes.
I mean, there was five lanes, and so I got the little thing, and I, you know, I don't really need a lot of room, and got in there, and I filled it up, and everything. I was so dainty and delicate because I don't want to spill any.
You fit it into the Snapple cap and filled the bottle up.
No, it was a smart water bottle, and it just anyway.
Oh, man.
No, and I filled it. I put the lid on it, and I put everything, and then I went to fasten up and put everything away, and I forgot that I'm old.
Put everything away?
Well, to put the junk away, and I forgot that I'm old, and you know, when you get old, you got to stand there for a little bit.
Oh, little dribblings came out.
Oh, not a little dribble, a stream, and it went all over the steering wheel and
Pew.
On my pants.
Oh, God, so you just smell piss all the way home.
This was the way up.
Gross.
So when I finally got to the hotel, at least I was dry then. I stayed in West Virginia. I stayed in, not Martinsburg, I stayed in Charlestown.
Oh, Charleston.
Charlestown.
Charlestown?
Yes, it's by Harper's Ferry.
Oh, well, that's like a real bougie part of West Virginia.
Really?
There's barely a meth head around there.
Oh, there are plenty of them at the casino.
Oh, okay.
I went to the casino, won a couple $100.
Oh, nice. No, you got to go deep, deep in where I was in. Oh. I was in the
I've been to Morgantown.
Morgantown is also very nice. That's where the college is.
You sent me that casino receipt, and you're like, don't tell anybody about this. I had a casino receipt for 23 cents.
Oh, yeah?
I was going to take a picture of it and send it to you. Don't tell anybody I did that.
Well, I won more money. I won't say how much. I won more in...
I got $10 in free slot play for signing up for a card at a casino, and I turned it into 23 cents.
Damn. Mm-mm-mm. They have one called Tioga Downs, which is on Route 17 in the southern tier of New York between Elmira, New York, and Binghamton, New York. And I went there. They have a racetrack. They have the harness racing.
Yeah.
And I won enough to where I could have paid for a hotel room there, but they didn't allow smoking. So I got a shitty-ass Binghamton, New York hotel with crackheads in it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, nice. Lovely, right?
Yeah.
How much crack did you get?
I don't do crack
anymore. Did you get $1,000 worth of crack?
Yeah. I have enough to last me 10 years.
What's a going rate for crack now? I don't even know how much you get now.
I don't know. So what did you do up in your home neck of the woods there, or did you already talk about it all?
No, big deal. I drove to Belfry, Kentucky first because it was my niece's graduation. She was graduating from high school, and she graduated with honors and whatever, cum laude or whatever the hell. And so she's going to be pre-med in the fall, and she's going to be in OBGYN so that she can be in Doctors Without Borders. She wants to go to third world countries, and
that's so cool.
It is. It's so disgusting, and I don't understand. Like,
she wants to see some shitholes and some shitholes.
Basically, she wants to help the women in countries that are so oppressed that male doctors are not allowed to examine them. So a lot of them have very poor care.
They have to examine them under a burqa or something?
Some kind of crap like that. So she wants to go and help, like, the smelliest crotches in the world and get them on the right track. So that's kind of, like, what she wants to do. So I did that Friday.
Here's a hose.
And then Saturday we hung out all day in Pikeville, Kentucky. And then from there I stayed in a hotel. And then the next day I drove on down to Chapmanville to my old digs and hung out with my Aunt Callie and her cats. So many cats.
Oh.
Yeah. And then...
when you go through from Kentucky to West Virginia, do you go through Ohio at all?
No. Oh, okay. No. The Ohio River Valley's on the other side. That's okay. If you were headed towards Michigan or something like
Very
that.
Very hilly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm like no cell service.
Yeah.
That's where I was at.
I got stuck with that in the mountains of Pennsylvania going to my aunt and uncle's. They live in western PA in Cowdersport.
So we both kind of just stayed in the mountain range the entire time. Both of us were traveling that.
Not
but
me.
I was
in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, wow, Jeff.
Oh, Mr. Biloxi. Did you win any money besides the 24 cents?
No.
No? Did you play poker?
I did.
And you didn't do well?
I did all right. I didn't really win anything.
Do you play a tournament or ring game?
No, just a cash game.
Is that what they're called, ring games?
Yeah.
I have the worst luck at anything like that. Like, I can't even be... My old boss, she used to be a big-time gambler. She'd go to Vegas. She'd come back in a new car. I mean, it was ridiculous. Jesus. She had that kind of luck. And whenever they opened the casinos in Detroit in the 90s, we drove down there one night, and there she was. She had, like, a whole wall of slots going. She had buckets in front of them. She was like, hey, you know, I got a couple of hot machines over here. Can you guys just crank these? And I lost all of her money in about 5 minutes. She said, not only get the fuck away from the machine, get the fuck out of this entire area, because you've got some kind of horrible mojo. I don't want it anywhere near me.
Damn. There's you're so the much cooler. Better now. You don't have to carry around.
I'm a cooler. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I'm William H. Macy.
You don't have to walk around with a bucket full of coins.
I like that, though. You can take your change in there.
I like that, too, but, I mean, it's heavy. I like to be in the one in West Virginia because you just sit at the slot machine like all the old people and chain smoke.
Right. Are they paying pills?
No.
I thought it would be oxys shooting out of there.
And then
I did see a shark, though.
Yeah, well, tell us about it. You said you saw a shark.
Yeah, I went into the Ocean Springs beach.
You went into the water and saw a shark.
Well, there's like a nice beach there.
Yeah.
And there's like 50 yards of like 4 foot deep sand, just sand.
Yeah.
And then if you go out beyond that, it's deeper.
Right.
So like about where the water started getting deeper, there was a shark. I think it could have been a dolphin, but the way it looked to me, I think it was a mako shark.
You saw the fin?
Yep. It came up and it was chasing stuff around and hung around there for like 5 minutes or so.
Did you get the fuck out of there?
No, I mean, I wasn't in the water at that point. There was these two teenage girls and their grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's when you just push grandma toward the shark.
No, the grandma was like sitting on the beach next to me, and the two teenage girls were in the water on a raft.
Oh.
And I saw the shark, and I said, hey, look at that. I pointed to the grandma. She goes, is that a dolphin? I go, oh, it could be a dolphin. It was far away, you know, it was far away from the kids. But she's like, better come closer to the shore, you two.
She's like, uh-oh, you're going to get mako.
Better get mako. And then I drove back and was headed to see my mom's family in Durham and in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And the drive back was terrible through Virginia. In 95 was just complete construction.
They never go 95.
Well, you can sometimes. And then it put me on these side roads. Waze did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just rural Virginia.
I took 23 all through Virginia.
Nice.
It was I love 23. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful drive.
Well, they were at the theater that night going to see Hello, Dolly, my aunt and uncle. And so my aunt said, we'll put a key under the door when you get there. And I got there around 8, and I tried the key, and the key didn't work. And I was exhausted. So I wrote a note and put it in the door.
Big Clark Griswold joke.
Oh. And I went and I said, well, all right, I'm going to go park someplace and get on Expedia and find a cheap hotel. And a day's in, which was right by Duke University in Durham. And so I booked a room there and I go in. And the first thing I notice is that the air conditioner hasn't been turned on.
Oh,
and so it's 900 degrees in there. And then I went to the bathroom and the mildew was so bad it smelled like a corpse. And I've smelled a dead body before, and it's the dead body smelled better than this bathroom.
Jeez.
And it's awful. It was so bad. And I thought, I can tough it out. And I turned the air on high and it's going. So I called down to the front desk and fucking Lurch the weirdo.
If you come down, I'll give you a new car to the new room.
So I go down and get the new car and I go back to the room. That air conditioner doesn't work at all.
Oh, my God. Nice.
And then I dawned. Something went off. A light off went in my head. And always look at who the business owner is. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because there are a certain
that's
group.
That's racist.
No, it's not. There are a certain group of people that own hotels, cheap hotels, especially.
You're being racist.
Are you talking gas stations, too, where the drinks are always warm?
I'm just talking about hotels right now at this moment.
Are you going to go off on Ramadan next?
They're not Muslims. And they're cheap, man. They don't leave you're supposed to leave the air on low in a hotel room, especially in the South when it's 90 degrees.
Well, this is like, you know, freaking Sweden to them.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I just think they're cheap as fuck. And the rooms aren't clean. There's like boogers and piss on the floor.
Well, my room, you know, the hotel that I was at looked like crap from the outside.
Yeah.
But the room itself, when you got in, was very nice.
Yeah, I don't care how it
looks on
the
outside.
It was
very modern and very nice, very clean, all that stuff. And the little guy that checked me in, I was standing there waiting, and Bernie Sanders was on the television or whatever. I love gay Southern people that are, like, extremely gay. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, they just leave that TV on all day, and it's got the news on it. And I mean to change it when I come in here. And then it's like, there's Bernie. And I'm thinking, why you got Bernie up there? He ain't going to beat him.
He just ain't. So, anyway, my next vacation, I told Caitlin, our next vacation's going to be at some swank Airbnb or condo or a hotel down in Gulf Shores. I want a clean beach, and I just want sunshine and water.
I want to go to, like, one of those...
go to Biloxi, man. That Ocean Springs Travel Lodge was only $75.
I want to go to one of those Mrs. Maisel type of family mountain resorts.
In the Catskills?
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I wonder if they still exist.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they still have them.
Yeah, up in the Catskills.
That's where they filmed it. That was like a working one that they went to.
That's where everybody was in Dirty Dancing.
Right.
In the Catskills.
I want to do that.
And while you're up there, go to the Enchanted Forest at Old Forge.
Go to Woodstock.
I'll do that. What's I want to go to there? Torch Lake in Michigan.
Torch Lake? What's that?
It's like the
just
most...
a lake that's constantly on fire because of chemicals?
It's been voted as like one of the most beautiful lakes in the entire world. It looks like the Caribbean.
Really?
Only it's 70 degrees colder than the Caribbean, even in August.
So you can see to the bottom while you're freezing to death.
Oh, it's look it up. Look up Torch Lake and look at the images of it. It's beautiful.
The new Impractical Jokers cruise just went on sale this week. I don't think I'm...
Are they on Torch Lake?
No, going to the Bahamas again.
Oh, it's a, what is it, an offshoot of Lake Michigan?
So, yeah, but yeah.
Damn, that water is clear.
Isn't it beautiful?
Wow. It does look like the Caribbean.
It's up by, but near Mackinac Island. In Traverse, it's near Traverse City.
How often does it freeze?
Oh, it stays frozen, yeah. Except for till June, till, you know, August.
That's beautiful, though.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah. It must be freezing cold.
No bugs, but no bugs.
Yeah, that's...
I bet the bugs come out at night.
I don't care.
Mostly.
I'm internally 1,000 degrees at all times.
I hate bugs.
I can get it. I do too. I hate them. I despise them. That's why I don't want to go any further past the bug line. I want to go north. I want to go away from bugs.
Being outside up north at my aunt and uncle's was nice. There were no mosquitoes. It was chilly.
Nice and crisp.
I woke up one morning when it was last Tuesday in Binghamton, New York, and it was 43 degrees outside. I didn't have a coat.
I hate you. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, but I didn't have a coat. I'm
Oh, wow. I mean, it was 1,000 degrees in Kentucky.
Ugh.
It was like 95 degrees. I thought I was going to puke.
Blah. All right. Well, enough of our woes of travel. We aren't fancy rich folks who get to go to the... What?
No, we're just slobs. We're just slagging from one shitty hotel to the next.
Yeah.
Driving ourselves.
Go to Biloxi, man. It's nice down there.
I had a good time hanging out with my old college buddies, Larry and Mark. We went to a couple different breweries in Binghamton, got drunk. It was fun.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah,
you can get a decent room in a casino there, too, if it's not a holiday weekend.
You know, the rooms at the Tioga Downs were cheap, but they didn't let you smoke.
Yeah.
And so I just
casinos, though they don't care.
It's almost like
that is a casino.
It's almost like everybody's trying to tell you that you shouldn't do it. I don't know, Tim. I don't know.
Oh, that's New York State.
Yeah, New York State. Yeah, I just well, even if I don't quit, the idea of staying in a shitty hotel room just so I could smoke, not a good idea. I'll stay at a Hampton Inn.
Jewel.
Well, yeah.
Bring your jewel.
Bring your jewel and your other jewel.
That's what you have to do next. Oh, is that going in your butt?
No.
I got a
vape.
Other jewel.
The vape pen.
I got some cartridges coming for it, too.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, all right. I hope the cops are listening.
Yeah.
Where are they coming from? Oh, you better not
from
say.
From somewhere good.
Okay.
Oh, that's legal, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no. I guess. Whatever. All right. So, a couple of news items. Some show that I'd never even heard of got canceled.
You never watched AP Bio? You fucking should be ashamed of yourself. It was hilarious.
The first season was very funny.
The first season was better than the second season.
There was a bit
of a sophomore slump, but
what's
still.
It about?
Much of a slump. It was terrible.
It's what's his name from?
Glenn Howerton.
Always Sunny.
Glenn Howerton.
He's a disgraced Harvard professor who has to go home.
And Paul Appel. Living
his dead mom's house.
Yeah. Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, Paul Appel from SNL.
Patton Oswalt.
And
plays
Patton
Oswalt
is the principal.
Okay.
And a bunch of kids. And it was hilarious.
The first season was very funny.
The first season was better than the second season.
The second season took a major crap.
So it got canceled. Yeah. And now what? Patton Oswalt's trying to save it?
Everybody's trying to save it.
Well, they could take it to a streaming service, right?
I guess they could. A lot of people were saying... Let it stay canceled so they can make more. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I'd be in that camp because I haven't ever seen it.
Yeah, Always Sunny though. They're all so busy now.
Right.
Like the last few seasons,
they're funny, but they're not
right.
They're not.
There'll be like two gold episodes each season.
The one last season where they had to figure their way out of the room.
Oh, the one that went to the seminar.
Yeah.
When Dennis did that whole thing at the end.
Yes. Great.
That was beautiful.
Also, a couple of passings. Bart Starr, the quarterback, was he for the Packers?
Green
he died.
Bay Packers, yeah.
And then Bill Buckner. Talk about somebody that's right in the Gen X wheelhouse. If you liked baseball in the 80s and you watched the World Series, he was the guy that, of course, let the ball go through his legs. And he got the blame for the Mets beating the Red Sox in 86, continuing to perpetuate the Curse of the Bambino. Now, if you watch Mookie Wilson's entire at-bat, okay, you have a guy on first, Ray Knight, and a guy on third who I don't remember. Howard Johnson is on deck. Calvin Schiraldi is the pitcher. Calvin,
do this as
I can't do him. I know you're talking about.
No, do it as the Braves announcer guy that you do.
Ooh, do it as a dancer.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I don't have any wine. It's Vin Scully. Vin Scully's doing the game.
Right.
And Calvin Schiraldi threw a wild pitch, which scored the tying run. So then Ray Knight moved on to second base. So Calvin Schiraldi, had he not thrown that wild pitch, the game would have ended, and it would have gone to Game 7, I believe. I don't know. I'm foggy. Maybe it did go to Game 7. But
there was a big-time error, though.
Big-time error. The ball went through his legs, and Mookie Wilson had hit. And then for years, everybody hated Bill Buckner. But he was a good guy and a good baseball player, and he played like four or five different teams. So really
very young, too.
69 years old, battling dementia.
Oh, that
last blows. Time we saw him in pop culture, he was on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh.
Where Larry ran into him at a card shop, a baseball card show, because he went to get an autographed Mookie Wilson ball for Jeff.
Mm.
And he shows up. He brings Bill Buckner over to Jeff's house. And what's Jeff's wife's name? Susie.
Yeah, Susie.
Susie. Buckner's standing by the window, and Larry's juggling the ball, and he tosses it to Buckner, and it goes out the window. And geez, it was a shit throw, Larry.
I wasn't on here, but R.I.P. Dave, man. Yeah. That really got me.
Oh, who?
Dave.
Dave who?
Super Dave Osborne.
Oh! Yeah, he died a while ago.
It was a few weeks ago. What was it, a month ago?
I don't know.
I wasn't here. I'm just saying. It was,
oh, yeah.
That really broke me up. I was really upset about it.
That bothered the shit out of me. Yeah. I didn't even know he was sick. So.
Yeah, who's looking?
He's dead now.
Yeah.
That's too bad. What everybody watch? I'll do mine quick because I haven't really watched a lot.
Yeah, you got like one thing.
Game of Thrones, and I already talked about that ad nauseum and listening to the books. We watched Dead to Me slowly because
I love it.
Caitlin, but that was such a very good show.
You watched all of it, right?
Yeah, we finished
great
it.
Great ending.
I love
everything.
The ending.
Yeah,
so I hope there isn't another season because
there'll be another season.
But I loved it.
Yeah, it was really
everybody
good.
There'll
be two more seasons, and then it'll get canceled because it's on Netflix.
No.
Her, and every time they show her and she's listening to the death metal.
Oh, my God, yes.
Crying.
Holy shit. Don't spoil the ending. Let's not spoil any of it, but it's a well-done show, very good writing, very good acting.
Wouldn't you say Christine Applegate, that's her best role?
I think
it's the best role she's ever had.
Yeah, and she's such a good actress.
No, Kelly Bundy.
Well, come on.
I mean, for her, she was like a teenager then, and it was like a one-note character. But this is a very multi-layered character.
Yes.
And her and Linda Cardellini, they have such good chemistry.
Yeah, they're great together.
Yeah.
Even the kids. Normally, it'll be the kids make or break it for me. And all the kids in the show were good actors.
We're good. And there's you know who else is? Ed Asner's great in it.
Oh, yeah.
God, that guy's going to live to be 300 years old.
He better.
I love Ed Asner.
Yeah.
In the way they peel the onion with the twists and turns.
So every episode, you're like, what?
That's why I was calling it Hozark, because it was like.
Hozark?
Yeah, Hozark.
That's a good name. but I really enjoyed it. And if you're not watching Summer House, well, that just wrapped up on Bravo. And all those people are all just wonderful people. Caitlin watched
that.
Last night
I was going to watch Love Island.
Probably. I've watched almost every episode of that awful show, and also the most recent Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Did you watch the All in the Family and the Jeffersons? That's what I want to know.
I did not, and I want you to tell me about it.
So fucking good.
I want you to tell me about it. Did you watch it,
no,
Lisa?
I want to see it.
Lisa and Sean watched it.
Jeffersons was better than All in the Family.
So what episodes did they do? The pilots?
It may have been the...
Start with All in the Family. What episode did they do?
It's the one where George Jefferson's brother is moving away. And it was the first time you see George Jefferson on the family.
Because they used to send his brother over because George wouldn't come on and go into Archie's house.
Right.
And so the brother's there, and then George shows up at the front door and he won't come in the house. And then he comes in the house. That's the episode of All in the Family they did.
All right.
And it was really good. I mean, Marissa Tomei was really good. Woody Harrelson kind of botched the Archie accent a little bit, and that was awkward, but it was forgivable. And then the Jeffersons was really good.
All right, let's listen to this real quick, because I want to hear this. I haven't seen any of it.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
right, I wonder if you can watch this on demand.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
I'll have to pull that up. Yeah, I want to see it.
It's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I heard that that Jamie Foxx screwed up once and he said, hey, this is live.
Yeah.
But did he do a good job? They had the real Florence.
Yep.
What's her name? Marla Maples? Yeah, Maples.
No,
Marla Gibbs.
Marla Gibbs, yeah.
I do that every time.
Marla Gibbs actually played Florence, right?
Right.
Yeah, I bet you the crowd went nuts for that.
Yep.
Because Sherman Helmsley and
Stephen Tobolowsky was really good. And
who did he play?
The neighbor guy.
Oh.
Did he have a British accent?
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. J.
Yep.
Oh, who played
that? He played Mr. Bentley?
No, Tom Willis, who was played by who? I heard it was fantastic.
Was that Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
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 Who played Meathead?
Ike Barinholtz.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and he had the mustache and everything. He was really good.
What was the point behind doing this? Do you know?
Jimmy Kimmel wanted to do it.
Yeah?
And
I guess
well, there was some show, I forget what it was called, but they did parodies of these old sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, he thought, oh, we should do live reenactments.
Are you talking about the whenever they would just do the openings? Whenever they would...
No, I mean, he was talking about a show that was on, and I knew the name of it at the time, but it was like a sketch show where they would do parodies of these old sitcoms. And he said when he was watching that, he always thought, well, why don't they ought to just do a real live act, get, you know, new actors and do full episodes of these shows.
What was that show that I'm thinking of though, Jeff, that was so good where they would do
one on Adult Swim where they do the greatest show of all time.
Greatest show of all time. Yes. Oh God. Yes. Okay.
Where they do like the
Too Close for Comfort and all
I love that show.
They did all the openings.
Right.
They filmed them.
So this did pretty well and maybe they'll do more.
Okay.
But I don't know what other ABC shows they could dip into. But
those were CBS shows.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Why was it on ABC then? Because of Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel in tandem.
Was Alice on CBS?
Yes.
They could do Alice.
Alice was on CBS.
They could do Barney Miller too. But
that was on ABC.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tandem Productions was owned by what's his name? Why is my
Norman Lear?
Norman Lear, and then the other guy, Bud Yorkin. And they called it Tandem Productions. So they own the company. So Lear owns all the shows.
They did bleep out the N word. And a lot of people were wondering what was going to happen because on the original airing, they had the N-word in the script.
They didn't edit anything. The only time they censored Archie's when he said, God damn. And then when they showed the reruns, they take out.
Right. But on the Jeffersons, too, they said when Tom and his wife, when they get in a fight, he said, you thought about saying that, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, thought about it or whatever, but but they bleeped it anyway. And then there's like a little 20-minute documentary after the thing. To talk about how they went around and around about what they were going to do and the broadcast standards. They couldn't say the N-word now, so they bleeped it.
Stupid.
So they couldn't get Lenny Kravitz to play Lionel.
Yeah.
That would have
been great.
Hey, man, you want some hot sauce? Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Often Pepper. It's a Chattanooga-based business that produces Huff Sauce. Huff Sauce is the brainchild of Aaron Hoffman, a man obsessed with making hot sauces, chili powders, and other chili goods since 2013. Huff's biggest challenge was to create the perfect hot sauce to kick up the flavor of everything from your morning eggs to sandwiches, salads, pizzas, burgers, poultry, fish, etc. Couldn't only be spicy, it had to be pleasantly tangy, flavorful, and fresh, elevating your food instead of covering it up. In fact, you know, the other night I cooked chicken out on the grill, and what did I do? I marinated it in the green Huff sauce. For 15% off, go to huffandpepper.com and use the code RADIOLAB15. That's Radio LAB15, all one thingy there, at the checkout. That's RADIOLAB15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. Huff sauce.
All right. Yeah, earlier when we were talking to Brandon, we'll get back to talking about TV shows, he was talking about this Cougar Escape song. So or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, so I'm going to play it. I'm sure.
It's the Pina Colada song.
That I do know. Thank you, Brandon.
I'm sick and tired of my baby.
Oh, I remember this.
I know it's time for a change.
I don't remember this.
I need to find me a website.
You were so high back
where
then.
Where I can get me some strange.
Wow.
While my girl checked Facebook, opened the laptop in bed,
And while perusing through Craigslist, I found a posting that said, if you like Red Bull and vodka and love anonymous sex, if you're not into condoms, if you have muscles to flex, if you like Waffle House at midnight and using Axe body spray, then I'm the cougar you've looked for. Email me and let's play.
Wow.
Yes, I like Red Bull and vodka.
That's sea bass.
And love a cougar in bed. But I'm not into dinner. I'd rather bang you instead. I'd like to meet you for a booty call. So tell me, what's your MySpace? I'm the young stud that you looked for. Let's hook it up at your place.
Wow.
That was really good.
Yeah. Fucking dated, though. MySpace, Craigslist. Thank you, Brandon. That was funny. I don't remember that at
yeah.
all.
So funny. You've made so many of these parodies, you don't even remember making them.
Well, actually, I'm singing well in that. So.
Yeah, your voice
yeah,
was
good.
Yeah,
that's good production value.
Unlike the Trump, where I can't sing, and I'm doing Trump's voice, which is even harder, mm-hmm. and I do those things. So
you got to watch the unauthorized Bash Brothers too on Netflix.
Yeah, I've heard that is hilarious.
That's fucking hilarious.
Anything those guys do is funny. I don't care.
But you'd be
unabashedly
super,
into
it too because of the whole baseball thing.
Yeah. Well, they're doing McGuire and Giambi, right?
Yep.
Or is it Giambi?
No, it's
Canseco.
Canseco, yeah.
Giambi was the genie on.
Well, Jason Giambi was also a baseball player. Giambi also was. You make it like a hat. This is something I want to do with these for a long time.
So the only other things I watched were I watched that Farley documentary on A&E, which was really good. Mm-hmm. Although no Adam Sandler, I guess he figured he'd done enough.
I had that enough.
That had Spade and had all his brothers and everything.
That was good though.
Yeah. And I started watching historical roasts on Netflix. Jeff Ross roasts like Abraham Lincoln, and it's
oh
like,
my god,
is it funny?
Yeah, it's pretty funny so far. It's like Bob Saget plays Abraham Lincoln, and John Stamos plays what's his name?
John Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes Booth.
Oh my god. This is on Netflix?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna watch that.
Oh, is it me?
Well, you
Steph,
also
you saw Brightburn? I fucking
well, hang
so
on a
jealous.
Minute. Hang on. I know I am too. She told me yesterday. Don't spoil it, but the finale of What We Do in the Shadows is tonight while we're recording, so right. I can't wait to that show just surprised me and I fell in love with it.
I
did
love
you watch it?
I love it.
Because we haven't talked to you about it. That episode where they had all the vampires. What
oh,
did you
yeah.
think of that?
Oh yeah, that was great. That
fucking
was great.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And even Wesley, they Skyped in Snipes.
What's his name? Vlad the Poker. When yeah. he's just poking.
That was great. Tilda Swinton, I mean, the fact that they got everybody like that, it was incredible.
Oh, but yeah.
But this last episode, the orgy, was so fucking
right.
funny.
I haven't seen it yet.
I was crying. It was so funny.
My wife's going out of town this weekend, so it's just going to be binging and catching up.
You'll get to watch both of them together.
Yes.
Right back to back. But that nice. What We Do in the Shadows, that and Barry are my two favorite
Steph,
comedies.
Steph, you need to watch those Wellington Paranormals that I gave you.
I know. I've got the thumb drive still. I'm going to put them in, and I'm going to watch them. I swear
now,
to God.
Now that What We Do in the Shadows is over, you need your...
All right, I'll do that. Well, it's not over yet, but yeah, once it's over, I'll do that for sure.
And
but
I still got those final two episodes I got to give you.
All right, so
they started filming season two, so I'm excited about that.
Of what?
Nobody of Wellington Paranormal.
Oh,
so I saw Brightburn.
Now that is
Saturday.
Tell us what Brightburn is about.
It's basically if Superman was evil,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same origin story. You know, he crashes onto a farm when he's a baby, and then the farmers is Elizabeth Banks and Roy from Office take him in.
Is it a comedy?
It has lots of humor in it though, because the Gunn brothers wrote it.
Okay.
And it's produced by James Gunn.
Okay.
So it has a lot of that Slither, there's a lot of that going on. It's not as cheeky as Slither, but there's definitely some funny shit in it. But the gore factor, of course, with the guns is notched to the fullest. There's some shit in this where, me and my niece, we were both like, damn, whoa! But we both loved it. There was not one boring part in the whole thing. The kid that plays the evil Superman kid, killer actor. He's great. He sells it 100%. And all the players, you know, what's his face? What was his name in Breaking Bad? The one with the scratchy voice. Jesse's friend, you know, not, it was like
Gopher.
Gopher.
Oh, I love that kid.
Yeah, he plays a pretty good role in this or whatever. But yeah, so go see Brightburn. It's
are there more
so
superheroes
good.
Or just Brightburn?
Just Brightburn.
Oh, God.
He's the only one in it.
The cure for
really
cape
good.
Shit.
That's it's really good.
They're calling those things the cure for cape shit. Because that's what the 4chaners that Jeff likes so much call all the hero movies is cape shit.
Oh, really?
I don't know what 4chan even is.
No, no, you don't.
Well, it was very
you're
good.
A Redditor. Go back to Reddit.
I highly recommend Brightburn.
And another cure for cape shit will be The Boys when that comes on.
Yeah, that looks really good.
I know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the trailer for that?
Uh-uh.
That and Watchmen. The series looks really good,
The Watchmen
too.
Looks really good. Yep. But they did, like I said, they did show the trailer for the next It, and it was terrifying.
I hope there's something different in it, because I saw the first movie and I'm like, I've seen this, I've read the book, and you know what's going to happen, it's not scary.
I don't know, Tim, this whole one scene that they showed, I was about to piss my pants. Mm-hmm. It was very creepy. So that looks really good. Watch the Barry season finale, which was amazing.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm binging Claws, which is so not a show.
What's Claws?
It's that one with Niecy Nash.
With who?
Or they're like
they run that nail salon.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's what's his face? Hank from Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
That dude, he's, and it's on paper, it's a show I would never watch because it is just batshit crazy. I mean, it's nuts, but
right.
It's kind of got me. I can't help it. And it's just nuts show. But Claws is pretty good. Catch 22, are you watching that?
No, I was going to ask you about that.
Oh, my God, it's so
I bet
good.
It's good. The movie's so good.
It's
the book is
so
the best.
Good. And it's the husband in the center, the one that played her husband in the center. He's the star. And Clooney is the colonel. Clooney is so good as the colonel.
I bet.
But it's very funny. It's like a dirty MASH, MASH and Brighton Beach Memoirs kind of.
Does it follow the book or is it just based on the book?
It's got to be based on the book.
You know, it's basically, you know, him doing the missions and the whole, you know, and each time, you know, you're like, am I going to make it back? And then they keep sending him for more and more missions, which is
that's the catch 22.
Yep.
You got to fly a certain number of missions and you, if you're crazy, you can't fly the missions. And
If you say that you can't fly them, if you say you're crazy, then that means you're sane.
Right.
So you have to fly the mission. Yeah. So that's the catch 22.
And is Bob Newhart in the movie?
He's in the original movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. But, and Alan Arkin, right?
But catch 22 on Hulu, dude. Watch that show. It is really good. And
Garfunkel, bunch of people.
And The Killing Season. This is a documentary they did back like about a year or two ago, and it's about that Long Island serial killer that they still haven't caught.
Yeah.
The Lisk.
Yes.
So this is a really deep dive into
it. That's a scary fucking...
Watch this show. It's called The Killing Season. It's on Amazon Prime, and I'm on the second episode now, and it is very creepy.
Yeah.
Like super creepy. It's very well done. The documentarians that are doing it are great, and they take you along on rides with them as they're taking these girls from the back page on Craigslist on their...
He was the Craigslist killer or the Backpage killer?
A lot of these women came from the Backpage.
Oh,
so
man.
And the fact that he called some of these people's families afterwards.
Mm.
He's still out there. They still haven't caught his ass. And they've only found...
And they won't ever catch me either.
I moved to Georgia.
But probably there's like 10 of them.
It's Nick DiPaolo.
the 10 that they found on Gilgo Island or whatever, they think that's just one of his little trophy grounds. That he probably has several trophy grounds, but that's one where they actually discovered a bunch of the bodies. So they found 10 of them there. But anyway, so that's a really good show, The Killing Season. And other than that, I listened to Kimmel and Hader on Conan's podcast, which was really good.
The Howard Stern one was good, too.
I haven't got to listen to that one yet. It's my next one.
It's very long. It might be the last one of the season.
I was just so disappointed when he was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. It was such a boring episode.
Stern?
Yes.
He's kind of boring when he's not on the show.
Well, he's mellowed now.
Yeah. But no, he's always been, he's either really annoying or really calm when he does his, when people are interviewing him.
He was boring and annoying with
Conan does
Jerry.
A really good job interviewing him, and you can tell Howard's just there to pitch the book. Like how many times Howard says, in this book that I wrote.
Yeah, he does that all the time too. You ever heard the first time Conan was on
it? But Conan, and that's one of the things in the book, Howard says that Conan is his best interview of all time.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what they, you know, they talk about that. But Conan doesn't let him just pitch the book
right
the entire time. He's a really good interviewer himself. So they have a really
good
back and forth and conversation, and they talk about a lot of cool shit. And Howard definitely is new post Me Too Howard,
mm-hmm.
which you know a lot of people say sucks, but He's still a great broadcaster.
Who cares if he changes the way? I mean, right. People grow up and they change. You know,
that's what he says. He says, you know, when he was on terrestrial, when he was on regular radio, his average age listener was 37 years old, uh-huh. And now that he's on satellite, they did all these surveys and stuff. And he found out his average age listeners are 37 years old. Even now, 15 right. years later, so he's like, I gotta evolve. You know that. Because the 37-year-olds aren't the same as these 37-year-olds were 20 years ago.
No, they're all a bunch of pussies. Yeah. If you ever want to hear one of the first times Conan was ever on Howard, it's on YouTube. It's they have the Jackie puppet there, and the Jackie puppet is Billy West making fun of right. Jackie Martling with a puppet and tearing Conan, making fun of his show. It's not going to last. And all that. Of course it did. Thanks, Jeff. I want to listen to that. My wife's been listening to a lot of true crime podcasts, just one after the next.
Is she in Sword and Scale? Please tell me she's listening to Sword
Probably.
And Scale.
Probably. I don't know. She just listened to Live and Die in L.A., which is a podcast
it's a good
you recommended.
Yeah.
And I have it in my queue to listen to. She's of the same mind as most of us that Payne Lindsay is annoying as fuck,
mm-hmm.
but that she covered preliminaries for the Tarek Grinstead trial and was supposed to cover the whole trial, but they, you know, there's all these motions and stuff. But yeah. She had to go down to that town and stay in a hotel, and she said there's it's boring there.
Tell her she still listens to Murderville, Georgia.
She probably has.
That
I'll ask
really
her,
good.
Though. She listens to them a lot.
Criminal is really good, and Crime Junkie is really good.
Crime Junkie. I think that's one, too.
Crime Junkie, and Criminal is great with Phoebe Judge. She's really good.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to...
Inside Jaws is doing Inside Star Wars.
I know, I can't
wait. Oh, they are?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to resubscribe. I took them off because they weren't updating.
I know, they just did the two, you know, Inside Jaws and Inside The Exorcist was so good.
And they also did Inside Psycho.
Yeah.
Which I liked all three of those.
Yeah, I did too. And The Exorcist one was so, I couldn't even listen to that one by myself. It would give me the creeps. It really did creep me out big
Exorcist
time.
Exorcist is a scary movie. I don't care who you are. That kind of stuff, the demons and Wrath of God horror movies scared me more than anything. The Omen, the first one, I couldn't watch that until I was about 20.
Yeah.
Because all for you, Damien.
My All cousin's right. name is Damien.
Damien. Let's do staff picks.
I got a bunch. I was going to say Archer starts this week.
Yeah.
The Deadwood movie is Friday.
God, I can't wait for that. I'm going to watch that live.
Yeah, so good.
Timothy Oliphant on...
Don't steal my one there, though.
On WTF. Very good interview.
The AMC show. That'll be mine.
Oh, you're going to take that one?
Yeah.
And Fear the Walking Dead comes back this weekend also.
Yay.
That's the good Walking Dead show.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Mine is Good Omens. Starts on Netflix
this
Friday.
Yeah, that looks really good, too. I want to watch that.
With David Tennant and is it Michael something Shannon? What the hell is this guy's
name?
Sheen.
Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen.
Sarah Silverman's boyfriend.
Right, and this is like a Gaiman, Neil Gaiman.
It's Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett wrote the book, which I haven't read the book, but I've always heard good things about it.
But it's like they're like the devil and the angel, right? And they're trying to stop the apocalypse or some
crap. It sounded similar to me. The plot sounded similar to that show with Steve Buscemi as God.
Yeah.
Where Earth is going to end in a week. And so the forces of good and the forces of evil are like amassing for the apocalypse. That's what it's supposed to be.
It looks pretty good, though. Yeah, but it's called Good Omens. It starts Friday on Netflix.
All right.
And the source material is really good. And those two are both really good actors. So I'm
looking
forward to that.
Neil Gaiman, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Terry Pratchett. Yep. Like, rest in peace.
My staff pick is Nosferatu. It's spelled NOS4A2.
It's because it's the license plate.
Yes. It starts Sunday on AMC. It's based on a 2013 novel by Joe Hill, Stephen King's son. And it stars Zachary Quinto as the evil vampire who feasts on souls.
Ooh, I haven't even heard about this at
this
all.
The book was so fucking good.
Is Joe Hill a good writer?
Yeah.
Is he better than his father?
Not better, but different and just as good.
I love Zachary Quinto. He's a great
actor.
These Joe Hill books are fucking amazing. All
right, is he at?
Check him out. There's this one. There's one called The Fireman. That's like his big epic story.
Uh-huh.
It's like a post-apocalyptic thing. Then there's he did a short story collection called Strange Weather, and he has one called 20th Century Ghosts, which
Joe Hill. I'm gonna check it out because King's kind of formulaic,
and the thing
always
is,
has been, but I mean now it's more.
You know how King like weave in little shit from all his books,
the Dark Tower world. Yes.
Yeah. Joe Hill throws in little shit about his dad's books.
Oh, really?
In his books, yeah.
Oh, all right.
It's fucking check that awesome. Out. Yeah.
Let's see. We got a couple reviews. We're going to rate your reviews and all that. I can't find the song right this second. I never saved anything in a folder. Just download.
Can you read them as John Lennon?
It doesn't ask. John Lennon.
Living Lennon.
Let's see. I don't do a very good John. Let's see if this does this sound.
Let me say before you start, though, I don't know if these people wrote these reviews in response to our request to win a calendar.
Yes.
Your Pretty Face is going to hell calendar. Uh-huh. So if these guys want these calendars, reach out to me on Facebook and I'll get them to you.
Okay. All right. The first one comes from Tyler Q. Long time listener, but I just decided to review because the snap picks turned me on to Barry and HBO. I watched the entire first season in a day. It is amazing. Speaking of amazing, good tie-in. This podcast is my go-to. I work the night shift and I look forward to it more than any other. Tim, Jeff, and Amber are hilarious and entertaining. I am also a regular listener on the Von Hessler Doctrine, but I vastly prefer Radio Labyrinth. I don't know. I've lost Lennon. I feel like Tim and Autumn really let loose without Eric holding them back. Anyway, if you don't listen to this podcast, you're a square.
It's true. You guys shine without Eric.
Oh, we shine with him as
your
well.
Your father suffocating you.
Yes. Now, who should I read this second one as?
Paul Stanley.
You haven't done Shelby Foote in ages. Can you do that?
Let's see. You guys talk about something over there real quick.
I give that review 5 stars because it mentioned all of us except for Steph.
Who, well, I wasn't. I'm not here. I'm like a. I'm a pop-in.
Steph's like a fucking Ivra now.
Fucking Steph.
So I still give it 5 stars.
Yeah, it was a pretty jazzy review.
Let's see here now. Hang on a second. I'm trying to get into the voice here. Are you ready?
I am.
By Doobs27. I like to laugh a lot. And I enjoy the quick wit and shenanigans of Tim, Jeff, and Autumn. These guys are consistently hilarious while keeping us currently on the inner loop. Thanks for working so hard to provide quality content for your beloved. I see. I don't even think I'm doing them right. Misfit listeners.
So you're doing a little McGonaghy.
No FOMO, no mo. What does that mean?
No FOMO, no mo. No FOMO means fear of missing out, but I don't know what no MOMO means. Maybe no FOMO, no mo. That's what it means.
Yeah, there's a story one time where President Lincoln wrote to General.
You got to watch these historical roasts, man.
McClellan and said, if you're not using the army, do you mind if I borrow it? And that tickled me.
Jeff Ross comes out as like a Civil War general with the uniform on and everything. And he's talking like the old timey way, like that.
That was some real, that gave me some real foot right there. That was the real foot.
A little bit of descent. Confederate flag is not a symbol of hate, it's a symbol of pride, and there's a battle. Okay, I gotta watch. I used to watch that documentary series once a year, the Ken Burns documentary.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Now I feel bad watching it. So good job on that review.
Did you know
Dubes?
Abraham Lincoln's mom died of milk sickness?
No, I did not.
Well, you'll find it out if you watch Historical Roasts on Netflix.
We're going to watch that. So just a little bit of housekeeping, and these are simply teases because we don't have all the details ironed out yet. But we will be doing a live show, hopefully Dragon Con weekend, the Friday of. This will be a celebration of us and also of Jeff Leboff. It'll be his 50th birthday. Yeah, well, we're going to do something for that.
Holy crap.
That'll be too early.
Shut up, you fuck. August. It's a week and a half before your birthday. Shut up.
You made it.
We're going to talk about your birthday. So we'll tell you more details. It's going to be a live event. Tickets are very affordable. We're going to try to put some entertainment together for you. We're going to try to maybe get a comedian, maybe two.
Nice. Maybe,
yeah, because I'm not doing it. And Jeff, maybe why don't you work on your stand-up?
Yeah.
Steph, will you do a stand-up routine there?
Oh, God.
I know you're just like, oh, yeah,
holy
Tim, please.
Crap.
Yeah, please, Tim, let me.
I just sound loud.
Yeah, we'll work on it. We're going to find somebody.
Okay.
And then this we can talk about. We have brand new shirts coming out, and it's the Radio Labyrinth celebration of season 3 of Stranger Things. So you have me as the sheriff, Jeff as Tooth Kid, and Autumn as 11. And we're going to have shirts, and then we're going to have posters, and maybe some coffee mugs, because I like coffee mugs.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have another person, and this artwork, by the way, is done by
Ben Bowling.
Ben Bowling, who's done a number of our shirts, and so you know it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another one of our listeners. Her name is Chelsea on Instagram. She does really cool little drawings, and she's going to do some stuff for us for stickers.
Oh, cool. Neat.
So if you're an artist and you listen to the show and you do a lot of stuff, we've done stuff with Brian Silverbacks. He's really good, too. So let us know. Anyway, that's this week's episode. We'll be back next week. What do we have next week, Jeff? Do you remember? We have a guest.
Do we?
I don't know. I'm trying to get Colin Quinn to come on because he has a new series or a new special on CNN. I'd like to talk to him.
Oh, wow.
And if you haven't had a chance, please listen to last week's show where we did some interviews. And don't forget, like us on Facebook. Follow us, Radio Labyrinth. Follow us on Twitter, @radio_labyrinth.
Oh, yeah. And those two people that wrote the reviews, hit me up again.
Yes,
if you want one of those calendars.
Thank you for leaving reviews. Speaking of that, go to iTunes or go to Google Play or wherever you go. Leave us a review, and if you do iTunes, 5 stars in a review. Rate your review. You
can be honest. If you don't want to give us 5 stars, you can give us however many stars you want. But
does Radio Labyrinth have an Instagram?
5 stars. Yeah, we have one. I just don't ever do anything with it.
So you're not trying to get the 18 to 29-year-olds?
Exactly. 18. It's @RadioLabyrinth on Instagram, so if you want to follow us,
you're
going to
put pictures on there.
Okay.
You take pictures of, I don't know, something gross. I don't know, put on there. Not me. I said something gross.
You said something
gross. But not me.
Okay. Be on the lookout for more episodes of Mike TV. We're going to keep it in our feed until we figure out how to do a network. And if not, it'll just go off and be its own little thing. But right now, it'll be in our feed. You don't have to listen to it. Don't get pissed if it shows up in your feed. But it's a good show. Arguably, Lisa is extremely knowledgeable about television.
It's inarguable.
Yes, inarguable.
She's very, very knowledgeable.
And that's why we call her Mike TV.
That's right. So lots more coming up. Again, back from vacation. Thank you, Steph, for being here tonight.
Yeah, thanks
for
having me.
You're always welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, always welcome.
I appreciate it.
And Jeff, fuck you.
Yeah.
I love you. I love you. All right, guys. Till next week.
Keep it canine.
Everybody, thank you for listening to Radio Labyrinth. You're the best people in the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We want to thank you. I want to start off by thanking everyone who's donating on Patreon. If you're not donating on Patreon, you got to check it out. Please, patreon.com/Tim Andrews for all the different tiers and all the different things we're posting up there every day. And I want to thank our little baby Patreon subscribers, Jessica and Walt Murray. You guys are our newest Patreon members, and we really appreciate you. Tell your friends, tell your wife, and let's see, let's go through the list. Let's go thank Robert Calderman, Lauren Calderman. Are you guys, what's happening with you two? You married? Are you brother and sister? Are you related by blood or by soil? Robert Haley, Sam Wells, Alan Barker, Ruben Aguilar, Mark Priero, Dustin Lawler, friend of the show, Dustin, Chris Knight, Ian Stull, Jeff Peterson, Andrew Amulazzi, Gwen Ketchum, Seth Ingram, Kit. Every week, I'm never gonna learn. Oh, Beatty, because it was like 80, right? Ah, yes, I remembered. Trent, I love you for your easy, easy name. Nicholas, Frank, Adam Kelly, Sherry Doherty, Dean Poole, Chris Cosantino, Daniel Pitts, Leslie Haney, Brennan Price, John Sutherland, the best. Ryan O'Connor, also the best. Andrew Harbin, the best. Jason Chappell, Wayne Blair, Jeremy Turman, Kevin Stokes, Rusty Weinberg, Leslie Norman, Chris Weiland, Mike Day in the house, Dan Carroll, Denise Reynolds, Lou Coniglio, Brian Jackson, Emily Warren, Mark Weiland, Debbie McDonald, Beth Van Eswick, David C. Funk you up. Aaron Roberts, Chad Shepard, Amber Gilpatrick, Colin Oman, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Herb Lam, Gareth Campbell, Andrew Hopkins, Mike Hall, friend of the show, Al McMeekin, Jonathan Wilson, Sean Hall, Keith Tate, Mike Spittler, and super fancy, extra awesome Wendy Muller. Thank you guys so much for everything. We couldn't do this show without you. I can't express how grateful we are, and we're going to be doing our next movie club coming up for Karate Kid, so go check out patreon.com/Tim Andrews for that. You can also go back and listen to our other recaps of Clue and War Games, which was my favorite one. Go check us out. We love you guys. Keep it canon.